Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Hello one and all, and welcome to Behind the Glass, your weekly automotive podcast hosted by two rather uninformed enthusiasts.
Nah.
I'm Sam from the YouTube channel Seen Through Glass.
I'm Tony from Gravelwood Car Sales.
And you can watch us each week. We hope you enjoy the episode. I took the train this weekend.
I saw that.
So yeah, I went down to my mum's house in Cornwall. It's to drive, it's probably like a 5.5 hour drive, like unless you're like bombing it.
What'd you take train for?
Well, here, let me, I'm going to explain that right now, Tony. It's,
right.
It's probably like a 5.5 hour drive, which is a tad too long at the minute for our daughter. I would say after an hour in the car of her being awake, she's a bit like, get me out of this thing.
Yeah, fair enough.
And she probably could nap for an hour. So then you've got a 2 hour journey, pretty comfortable. Five, it's like, whoa. Mm. And we could break it up. We could like stop somewhere halfway, but then it's like, it's still 2.5, 3 hours. Anyway, too long.
Yeah, yeah.
So we thought, hey, you know what? Why don't we take the train? That'll be perfect. She can look out the window. We can keep her entertained, like loads of like, books and toys, and they'll be fine. And it's a 4 hour door to door. So,
door to door?
No, sorry, not door to door. 4 hour station to station.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah.
4 hour station to station. So, Good Friday, we chose to set off from London Paddington.
In the morning?
In the morning, about 10 a.m.
Uh oh.
So, yeah. So, as we arrived, I was like, ooh, feels busy in this station.
It will be busy.
Like packed. Yeah. I mean, packed. I'm thinking, oh, this is a bit stressful. And everyone's standing around looking at the boards, waiting for their trains. And our train was one of the last to be called. And I started thinking, oh, are all these people waiting for our train?
Uh-oh. Well, Paddington as well, if you know London, it's not the biggest of train stations.
No.
It's quite small and compact.
And it really caters for the southwest of England.
Correct.
So of an Easter weekend, it is quite popular for people down south to head southwest, to head out to Somerset, Devon, Cornwall, Wales, Bristol, etc. And Paddington Station will service most of those
Waterloo
destinations.
Does a bit as well, though, right?
Yeah, Waterloo does a bit. Yeah, but you know, anyway. So it's when people like to go away on Easter, Good Friday. I probably should have used my head and thought, probably not the best time to travel with a 15-month-old baby.
Yeah.
Anyway, our train gets called. I have never experienced anything more hilarious but stressful in my life.
Fight.
Dude, the gates opened for the platform. It was chaos.
Yeah.
I saw an old granny be stampled. I mean,
stamped on.
Kids were thrown onto the rails. No one cared. It was like, like just panic to get onto the train. I have never run faster in my life.
Did you get involved as well?
I ran because we had a big suitcase. And on the British trains, there's about 3 spots for large suitcases. So I was like, I need a space for the... So I legged it, mate. Get to J carriage. People were filming it. Everyone's screaming.
Didn't go first class.
No, mate. Do you want to know why?
Why?
My return ticket. So 2 of us, plus the baby on our laps, return ticket for the weekend, £395. First class, £612.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I mean, just not worth it.
Yeah, yeah. It's technically Mickey.
The justification in my head was if we'd taken the F-Pace SVR, the fuel would have been similar. Genuinely, the fuel would have been similar. I mean, the fuel, I would have done at least 3 fill-ups, if not approaching a 4th in the F-Pace SVR. That's deadly serious.
What, you'd have done 300 quid in fuel?
Yeah.
Are you joking?
Mate, you underestimate that car. Because
I travel all around the country in cars.
But not an F-Pace SVR.
No, fair, but I'm just trying to think, like, if we get big cars from parts of the country, I know it's a long way, Cornwall, but...
You know what would have killed it? It's the driving around in Cornwall. The motorway would have been all right, but it's a smallish tank in that car. And it does churn. Million.
No?
I think a bit under. Okay. Maybe 70? I'd have to double check. But it feels small. When I fill it up, I'm always like, oh, pleasantly surprised. Anyway, you're now questioning my justification, which I'm now feeling the pressure of.
I'd be amazed, mate, if it did cost you £400 to get that car there and back.
It would be close, honestly.
I think it'd be about 200 quid tops.
Okay, or 250. It would have been a lot. Anyway, long story short, get on the train, find our spot, perfect. Look at the watch, I'm like, oh, we're 30 minutes behind, who knew? We're supposed to leave at 10:04 and it was 10:34. And I was like, oh, well, you know, it is what it is, off we go. Train is packed, right? People are standing up and down the corridors. There's bags everywhere. No one can move. People are arguing over seats. I reserved that seat. Well, sorry, mate. I'm already sitting down. No, that's, you know, like just chaos.
Oh, my God.
I put a post up on Instagram and someone messaged me saying, hey, I'm in the control room right now. The train before you has about 750 seats and 1,200 people boarded. Nearly double.
But that's the train company's fault. It's ridiculous. The ticket.
I mean, it's unsafe.
Yeah, yeah.
And so we set off and then found out that part of the line had been flooded, so we had to take a diversion. Then someone pulled the passenger alarm because it was so overcrowded, they sort of passed out. There was no aircon, so we had to stop at an emergency station. They had to be taken off. There was people... What would the match have been? Charlton Athletic versus Exeter? They were all going to that.
Possibly.
Division something football game. They were all... As we sat down at 10 a.m., three huge boxes of beers on the table. Ba-doom, ba-doom. Get on, Saturday! I was like, oh my God.
Charlton fans, you're going to
Charlton fans going in large. It was chaos. So we ended up being 90 minutes delayed, pure mayhem, couldn't breathe, couldn't go to the loo, couldn't move on the carriage. And I thought, this is absolute hell. Why do people do this? Delayed.
People do it every day, mate.
Every single day. Every day. And at that point, I was like, okay, we should have driven. Because yes, you're probably right. It wouldn't have been 400 quid on fuel.
I was at Paddington once. You remember me probably messaging the group and said about train travel. And I said, how the hell do people do this every single day?
I think it's a scam.
It's a full-on scam.
It's a full-on scam. And the thing is, okay, so the journey back, just to give... GWR, Great Western Railway, credit. The journey back was lovely. So we had okay weather. So you asked about the weather across the weekend. It was good. We had, you know, sunny spells, I think you'd call it. But the journey back is beautiful. That first 2 hours from, so we're down near Truro Road, that first 2 hours back towards sort of Exeter, Taunton Way, stunning.
Yeah, yeah, nice views.
Incredible views. You're down by the coast and you're going to the beautiful rolling countryside. That was glorious. We had a comfortable table. The journey kind of flew by. We were bang on time, arrived into Paddington 3 minutes late, all hunky-dory easy. So I'll give it to them. But the cost is hard to stomach. With the baby, the journey back, I'm like, okay, this does make sense. This has been easier. She's been fine. We've fed her. We haven't had to stop a million times. Like, this makes sense. But it's too unreliable, right?
Not just that, mate. I always thought that public transport was meant to be affordable transport.
Mm-hmm.
But you've just proved that it's more inconvenient and more money than it is to go in a car.
Well, yeah, on a bank holiday weekend or Easter weekend.
Yeah, yeah.
But there was another reason why we chose to do that, because last time we did this a year ago, it took us 6.5 hours to get from my mum's house to my parents' house, which should have been 3.5 hours.
So it was because of the traffic.
Because of the traffic. So, yeah, bit of a disaster. Anyway.
Don't travel in bank holiday weekend, basically.
Just stay home.
Just stay home.
Don't go anywhere. What an absolute disaster.
Yeah.
Anyway, we've got some stuff to chat through, apart from our Easter weekend plans. How's work? What works all right? You got cars coming and going?
Yeah, busy.
I want to quiz you in this episode on your new market segment.
Yeah.
Cheaper cars. We're going to get into it towards the end because I have some questions. I've been looking at some lower-end family cars, 20K-ish.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's obviously what you... I'm not going to say what you specialise in now, but where you're trading a lot of cars. So.
Yeah, yeah, because it's what's selling. It's what literally what I'm selling. I'm getting them in and they're going out quicker than I can get them, basically. So,
well, I'm going to pick your brains on it in a moment. But first off, I want to touch on last week's visit, my visit last week, to Ferrari.
To Ferrari.
Yes, indeed, sir. Mm. Jumped on a plane. Much easier than a train.
And cheaper.
And way cheaper. And flew down to Maranello. Oh, mate. I can't help but just arrive into that town and just buzz. I'm just like...
I've been to the town, but I've never actually been to Ferrari.
Really?
And I've not been on that track either.
Oh, mate.
I want to have a go around.
Fiorano.
Yeah.
I don't think you can just like go on the
track. No,
of course
you
can't. Not like book a track day.
Yeah.
It's quite... Yeah, so let's get into all of it, I suppose. So have you driven past the factory gates?
Yeah, like literally that's it.
You've been to lunch there? Have you gone to nothing?
No.
Well, then you're kind of missing everything. Because the village in the town is amazing.
Yeah.
And there is like, you know, everything's Ferrari. There's all those, rent a supercar for the day. There's the Ferrari Museum, which is very good. I have to give that a shout out. Great museum.
Not been in there either.
Oh, mate, we're going to go back. That's a road trip. That's a future destination.
Okay.
So lots to do, but the real like specialness is inside the hallowed gates, because I think Ferrari's biggest selling point is the, in inverted commas, club.
Mm.
Because when you buy a Ferrari or you own a Ferrari, you gain entry to... Well, the Ferrari Owners Club, but the unofficial Ferrari Owners Club, just the Ferrari Owners family. And actually, Ferrari themselves said this. I've really drunk the Kool-Aid.
Again.
Because back in the day, really early on in the sort of 40s and 50s, you know, Enzo sort of almost handpicked who bought his car. Mm. So he knew everyone.
They still do that now.
Basically, you're right, actually. It's not the Romas.
Yeah.
It's that warm feeling, isn't it? When you own a Ferrari, you do feel like you're kind of...
There's no other brand like it, mate.
Yeah.
Literally no other brand like it.
And so when you are welcomed into the Ferrari gates, one way or another, it's that like times 10.
Mm.
So you have the Cavallina restaurant opposite, mm-hmm. which had a refurb a few years ago. Absolutely delightful. That's the kind of go-to for easy lunches, the client lunch, stuff like that. Then you've got the Montana restaurant down the road, which is where you always see the photos of like a Schumacher in the kitchen with the chef you know, all that stuff. And there's memorabilia everywhere. And drivers still go there now. But inside the factory gates, you've got the Classico department, which is I was there to visit. You've got the atelier, you've got the actual factory itself. You've got the Formula One team. And then, yes, you've got the Fiorano race circuit, which was, I think, opened 1970s, early 1970s. So there's just so much. You're just literally overwhelmed with Ferrari.
Yeah.
Like passion, enthusiasm. You can't help but just go, oh, my God, this is just unbelievable.
Mad to think that Lewis is going to go there next year, isn't it?
Well, okay, so... Oh, we got so much to talk about. So the reason why you may not have seen much of this is Ferrari keep it very close to their chest. So, you know, it's not really something that they're allowed to be filmed. It's not something they're allowed to be showcased, because they want it to be reserved for customers. So that when you go there and you're specking a car or collecting a car, factory collection, a driving experience like the one that I did, it feels special. You haven't seen it before.
It's not on the internet, yeah.
It's very clever the way they do that.
They used to be very protective, mate. Do you remember early days of us filming and stuff, and we wanted to go to a Ferrari deal? You used to have to get permission.
Still do. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely. You know, you have to seek prior permission from the PR team. You know, they're very protective over their brand in general. And the factory is like, you know, the complete, you know, hub of that. So, so I was there to take part in their Corso Pilota Classiche program, which is a driving course for the classic cars.
Yeah.
So I guess more on that on the main channel video, which I think is coming this weekend. For me, dream come true. Go to Ferrari and drive classic Ferraris. Yes, please.
Yeah, yeah.
So that was kind of the focus.
No, thank you.
Yeah. Actually, for you, it would have been a total disaster. The focus was the classic department. But before that, we went on the factory tour. So full factory
tour. You've
done
that before, right?
I've done that before, but not for a long time, to be fair. And a few things I picked up on. So firstly, they are building a lot of Romas.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Roma.
It's their 911, isn't it?
Mate. Yeah. We talk about how they have bombed in value. Mm. They will bomb harder. Because even our tour guide was like, everything you see today will be a Roma.
Mm.
You see an engine, it's for a Roma. Mm. Or maybe... Roma spider.
But that's actually good for the rest of the cars, because they can only build a certain amount of cars a year.
Yes.
Ferrari. So that's good for the mid-engine stuff because they just can't build them. They can only build 10,000 cars a year, right?
Well, they're aiming at less still.
Fair.
So they... Was it 7,500 per year?
That's normally what they build.
The demand is increasing, but they don't want to increase production because want to keep the exclusivity.
Yeah.
So
from Roma.
Yeah, apart from Roma. So they are churning Roma and Roma Spider everywhere. And Pura Sangue, by the way. Whatever they tell you about the exclusivity of Pura Sangue. Oh my God, they are churning Pura Sangue.
But Lamborghini done that with Urus.
Yeah.
It's a complete lie.
It's go.
It's absolutely. You
know, printing money, as they say.
Yeah,
So that was the first few things that I realised. So those cars will continue to be great things to pick up because at 110 grand, which they will be soon enough, what a car.
Mm.
I mean, they're already 140 and what a car, but anyway. Next thing, colours are in. Ferrari Red is out. I mean, like all these manufacturers, and we've spoken about before, we did a whole episode talking about it, the colour variety on the production line, mental.
But the thing of that is, mate, in general, most people that buy their first Ferraris probably still buy a red one.
Apparently not.
Really?
Yep. Apparently the consensus is from 296 onwards.
Oh,
and
that's
Roma
changed
to before,
recently.
That's
yeah.
what he said.
Yeah.
So our tour guide said it has been a big change in recent years.
Okay, fair.
Where people are spending a lot for colours. And his non-official word, but his guess or estimation was the desire for exclusivity. Because there's an increase in production from 10 or 15 years ago.
Yeah. Well, if you want exclusivity as well, you have to buy a Ferrari because that's what it's all about. And actually, when you look at the design of a Roma and a 296 and probably even an SF90, they all look crap in red. And they all look much nicer, apart from the triple layer reds, by the way, because I think they look nicer than the triple layers. But the normal Rossa Corsa red, I think they look like terrible. I think the Roma looks much better in a darker colour.
I would agree with you on the Roma. A Rossa Corsa Roma, tough.
And I'd also say that about 296. I think a Rossa Corsa 296 looks a bit like...
A bit bland.
Yeah.
I saw a Rosso Mugello, which is that stunning original alpha flat red, dark stuff,
on
a 296 with silver wheels, and that was beautiful.
Yeah, I've seen that for a while.
Yeah, that was a really nice spec. But yeah, I'm not going to disagree with you there. I'm definitely not going to disagree with you. But yeah, colours everywhere. Saw a few 812 comps, not 812 comp apertas floating through. Just lots of amazing cars, but in all kind of variety of colours. Next thing I learned, the full EV plant or production line was... in development, coming soon, because the first full EV Ferrari on its way. So that's kind of wild.
Good luck with that.
Considering they spent the entire tour telling us that the heart and soul of the Ferrari is the engine. Mm. The whole point of a Ferrari is the engine. Enzo would tell you, you're buying the engine with a car around it.
Yeah.
In this production line, you see the car comes to the engine. The engine doesn't go to the car. Oh, by the way, there's our full EV production. Yeah. I was like, oh God.
Yeah.
But you know, you never know. Ferrari might really just blow it out of the park there. What else did I want to touch on that I learned during the factory tour? Saw a few SF90 XXs.
Yeah.
They do look wild. Mm. They do look completely different to an SF90.
Yeah.
Like it really takes 2 seconds to calibrate.
Custom delivery cars as well.
Yeah, already out, right?
Audio.
What else did I see? Hold on a sec. Something else popped into my mind that I thought about. The thing which really blew me away is firstly, how handcrafted the engines still are.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of robots, of course, but they keep talking about how they use robots for precision.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about when they need to be very precise is where they use the robots. But there was so much still going on, hand-assembled engines. And what's awesome to see and really motivated me, and I text you saying, I think I need to buy another Ferrari, and especially a V12, because the V12 engine line is completely different to the V6 and the V8.
Yeah.
So, you know, there they do use a lot more robotics. The V12... it's a single station. You've got one engineer building a whole engine. It's very handcrafted, very few robots. It's all a very sort of, what's it called? When it is not handcrafted.
Hands-on.
Like artisan? Artisan? Or,
no idea.
No, anyway. It's very bespoke feeling, even though I'm sure it's not because they're churning engines.
Yeah, yeah.
That was amazing to see.
There's probably, actually thinking about it, there's probably only one other brand that you can probably half compare that handcraft experience, and that's Rolls Royce. I think the rest of them are literally robots. Obviously,
what about AMG?
Yeah, I mean, you probably get like the Porsche GT department and AMG. You get like departments, but as a manufacturer that really are still hands-on. It's probably only Ferrari and Rolls-Royce left.
Yeah.
You know, because you've got the M departments and the RS departments, but I mean, they're probably fettle, but I bet they're not involved like they are.
It actually surprised me. Having been on quite a few of these factory tours, it was amazing to see just how hands-on they are with it. Uh-huh. And it really did make you think, or made you remember, that the engine was the big special part of the car, which I know is something you banged on about a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
But this really highlighted it. Oh, that was it. Maserati.
Uh-huh.
The Levante engine was still built in the Ferrari factory up to a few years ago.
Oh, was it?
Yeah. They literally shut down the production line for the Levante engine like literally a few years ago.
Amazing.
So I didn't know that. I thought that all disappeared a long time ago when they split from FCA and the Horst Stellantis thing. So I think those were my takeaways from the factory tour. You'd enjoy it. Fun to see.
Mate, just talking about it makes me want to go and buy another. I'm just about to go and buy another Ferrari.
I literally text you as I was doing the tour, being like, oh, Tony, I'm going to buy another Ferrari. I was literally like on the Auto Trader as I was going on the factory tour, thinking, what could I get here? Yeah. And we probably get into that maybe next week after the main channel video goes out, because there was one car that really blew me away.
But you've already got a Ferrari.
I need another one.
you need one that works.
Literally. So then we've moved across to the race circuit, to Fiorano, which is now the home of the Corsa Cliente, the XX program, the F1 cars. Always impressive to see. What I got the chance to see was the 499P, so the Le Mans car, but the customer program for the Le Mans car.
Oh, okay.
That is wild.
I bet.
I mean, who is getting in that? I mean, you, like, that, mate, that's a Le Mans car with no holds barred. Just flat out.
Yeah, I'd have a go.
Mate, you would love to have a go. But that is, you've got to half know what you're doing.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, and I said, because I heard a rumor a long time ago, which they've never ever, and they wouldn't actually clarify or confirm, that with the F1 cars, because of course, you know, that's the gem in the Ferrari customer experience is an F1 car. And the way that those are sold is it's an auction. They team up, I think, with RM Sotheby's, and they invite...
Can you drive them though?
Yeah, of course.
Oh, right.
Yeah, yeah, fully running F1 cars.
Once you buy them, you can drive them.
It's a part of the Corsa Cliente program.
Oh, wow.
So they do full-on track days and everything like that. So...
Oh, that's a crash.
So let's say we're at a level, right? We've got our 20 Ferraris. We're at that point. We would get a call saying, right, hello, Mr. Sam. We have the opportunity to buy a 2010 Ferrari F1 car. There's going to be an auction held on the 18th. You're invited to take part. Amazing. You'd also be invited. And they'd be like, I don't know how many people. They didn't actually say how many people are part of the auction, but it's very select. And then you just bid out, because they said they don't put a value on it, because of course they wouldn't, because some people will go insane. If you're someone that was a huge Alonso fan and you were obsessed with the season that he was racing, you're going to pay way more overs for that particular car. But I heard a rumor that if you weren't a great driver, you would get offered the cars with traction control.
Fair.
But they're the Schumacher cars, or at least the earlier era. So they've inherently got more value, or people care about them more, don't realise that they're being sold the cars that are a little bit easier to drive. And then the cars which are a bit more complex and harder to drive are offered to the better drivers, even though the value might not be there.
Yeah.
So people go, oh my God, I'm buying a Schumacher car. It's because you can't drive for crap.
Yeah,
Well, I mean, I say, totally unconfirmed rumour.
Like Schumacher. She's the crush every week.
You're saying that to wind me up, and I'm not going to buy it. 499Ps though, like, I don't know. I mean, that must be reserved for they must look at the F1 driver program and go, that guy knows what he's doing. Let's offer him one of these.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's serious tech, but very cool to see.
Serious money, mate, let alone tech.
Oh, yeah. I think 5 mil.
Yeah, it's like insane.
Unbelievable. F1 cars, so they do run all those. And then Fiorano itself, so the racetrack, which is now my third time, I think, driving around there, which for me is like, almost is the same level as my F1 car driving experience, because I spent my youth looking at imagery of Schumacher testing around that track. I've followed car launches, car development around that circuit, spy shots, all these things like that. So anytime I get there, I'm like, hallowed ground.
Yeah.
And got to spend the whole day farting around pretty much in the rain, which was a bit of a bummer.
So what?
I mean, but who cares?
Who cares?
Super cool. So yeah, I left going, right, I need to buy another car, which was a disaster. but I'll try and find a way to get you in. We'll try and do something.
We should do something, yeah.
Yeah, I'll send them an email and see if we can do. I wonder what we could go and drive or do, or we've got to do something to give you the full experience.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Talk about it some more. But yeah, that's the main channel video coming soon. But speaking of Ferraris-ish, something I wanted to quiz you about. Over the last few weeks, seen a lot of my contemporaries, YouTubers, buying crashed celebrity cars.
Yeah.
So Matt Armstrong, famously, went out and bought the Marcus Rashford crashed Mansory Ray.
Well, he's got a little bit of a history of buying like half famous people's cars anyway. Didn't he buy, is it Adam?
Adam Elsey's GT3.
Yeah.
So yeah, so he obviously knew the format worked and had this opportunity to go and buy the Rashford car. And then literally, I think the last few days, Strabman, James went out and bought Michael B. Jordan, who's a famous American actor, crashed 812 Superfast.
Did he?
So I think maybe, you know, knowing James, he's probably half seen what, you know, what's going on here. And
what the others are doing, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm like, I might do something.
Yeah.
Brilliant
marketing, that is.
Oh, it's a fantastic,
it's unbelievable,
content stream.
Yeah.
But what I wanted to dive into and actually pick your brains about is, where does this sit in your world? So firstly, just to understand what a Cat N, Cat S, Cat whatever, category write-offs or breakdowns mean. If you rebuild a car here in the UK, is there a market for it? Do you see them? Is there disasters where people rebuild them and then try and hide the fact that they've got a cat, whatever? Like, how does it all work? Because as a YouTuber, I see the legs in it, 1,000,000%. Amazing content. You know, the car hopefully could pay for itself if you're getting enough views. You end up with an incredible car at the end if you don't plan on selling it. But how's it work? It's like, because I was looking for an A6 Allroad recently and there was a Cat S car.
Flipping
stunning up. Spec. And I thought, oh, but I didn't actually really understand what a Cat S meant.
Yeah.
So talk me through it. How does it work? And is there actually any legs in this?
So there's obviously different categories of insurance write-offs depending on the damage, essentially. So they changed it. It used to be A, B, C and D, but they changed it. You've got N, Cat S.
Yeah.
And there's a more serious one as well. There's a few. It's not really my world. I understand it, and I definitely don't buy that stuff, and I wouldn't. I've been offered it before in part exchange and stuff, but...
And this is all to do with insurance, right?
Yeah, so it's all about the value of the car and the damage of what's been damaged. So, you know, if you've got like a 10 grand car, like a German car that's fairly expensive to fix, and it's had a crash... It's only been like a wing and a bumper. Sometimes they write it off because they go, it's not worth repairing. Or another good one, I had a customer the other day, not the other day, actually, it was a couple of months ago, bought a new shape RS3 from me, and his RS6 had blown up.
Engine-wise?
Water damage, yeah.
Okay.
So it obviously went for a puddle, blew his engine up, and it was 25 grand for an engine.
Wow.
So they wrote the car off. The car was 35 grand. They wrote it off.
And so a category only gets applied in the UK when the car is written off.
As in, you got written off repaired.
Okay.
And then you've got like written off as in it can't go back on the road. As
okay.
in, you know.
You cannot drive this.
Yeah.
And structural damage, like chassis damage.
Yeah. And that, so in the old categories, that used to be A and B.
Okay.
But they've changed the categories.
Letters. Okay, fine.
They've changed, but yeah. So
if you saw old school Cat A, B, or you know, serious structural chassis that like should not be driven.
So I think Cat N is non-structural. I think that's what the N stands
for. Should we bring up the
actual?
Should we bring them up?
And the S means structural damage, so it's more serious. Basically, I'm pretty sure that's right.
Insurance categories UK, just so that we know exactly what we're talking about. No, it can't.
Non-structural can be like bumpers and stuff like that, you know, that's not damaged the structure of the car, basically.
Okay, so what car gets written off? Okay, what is a cat A car is for scrap only. These cars are so badly damaged they should be crushed and never reappear on the road.
Yeah.
Cat B, cars broken up for parts, the body shell should be crushed. Cat B signifies extensive damage, although some parts are salvageable.
Yep.
These vehicles should never reappear on the road. Cat S means the vehicle has suffered structural damage. This could include a bent or twisted chassis or a crumpled zone that has collapsed in a crash. Cat S damage is more than just cosmetic, therefore, and the vehicle will need to be professionally repaired.
Yeah.
Also, it won't be safe to drive until then. And a Cat N haven't sustained structural damage. The issue may be cosmetic
yep.
or a problem with the electronics. Fine. So a Cat N, if you see a Cat N for sale, $5,000 or $10,000 below market value, it may be worth considering depending on the repair shop and the repair work.
As far as I knew as well, some insurance companies, they won't insure.
Ah, interesting.
Reinsure category cars. There will be specialist ones out there, but there'll definitely be insurance companies that just say, because they ask you, don't they?
Yeah.
Has it ever been in a write-off before and blah, 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 blah. When you do your insurance, and if you say, yeah, it's a cat this, sometimes they go, sorry, we can't insure you. So, but also as well, like there's a, in our opinion, there's a huge value difference. So it's not like
trade value.
Just in general, it's not like some people think, oh, it's like 10%. And I don't specialize in this anyway. But and when some occasionally we get offered cars in part exchange and they say it's a Cat N or a Cat S, and I just say, I'm ever sorry, I'm not taking it in. I don't want it. I've no avenue for it. I definitely wouldn't resell it. Because they're never the same, mate. When a car's been crashed, contrary to what some people say, they're never the same.
I would agree on a Cat S if that means structural, but even a Cat N, like let's say, well, you're right, if it's been written off, it's not a fender bender, is it? That's the whole point.
Well, some stuff is, it really does depend on the value of the car. So one of my colleagues who I work with, he sells cheaper stuff, and he took a Cat N Suzuki Swift in.
Okay.
So a little cheap car, purely because an ambulance had gone down the side of the car and it had to go through insurance. So because it went through insurance, they wrote the car off because the car was only worth $2,000 or $3,000. So they wrote the car off. So, but really, that car's up, so you repaint the side.
Sure.
So good to go. But there's no real damage. So it does always depend on the value of the car.
Value of the car and what the damage is.
And what the damage is.
Or was.
Yeah. But also as well, you have all these the biggest problem that we have as dealers is sometimes cars are smashed up and written off and they're not put on the register.
So why is that? That's what I was trying to get at.
Insurance companies.
So what the insurance, because that was the whole thing with the Rashford car, right? Is it didn't actually have a category against it.
But the problem is they get a certain amount of time, I believe, to put the category on, or sometimes it just doesn't get done.
Okay.
So what happens is the car's repaired. I mean, there'd be hundreds of thousands of cars out there that have had serious crashes, been repaired, and they've not got any N or S.
But you know that happened with my Alpha 4C?
Mate, there's hundreds of thousands out there and they never put the marker on. So that's why you obviously get these like V-Car now and these other companies
Car
out
Vertical.
There. Yeah, that's probably another one.
Not sponsored.
No, not sponsored.
If they want to.
Yes, please.
Hello. We're here.
Yeah.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself
and for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
So that obviously they do different checks. So us as a dealer, we don't just rely on HPI, which is the common thing that dealers use. We rely on other sources to make sure the car's okay. There's lots of telltale signs as well of a car not being right, as in the trade. One of them being a change of owners very quickly.
With like very little mileage.
Just change of owners. So like if a car's been whacked and been repaired and it goes through like three owners in a year, there's sometimes alarm. Then you check a bit more.
You go back, yeah.
But I, being my job and I do it every day, I can...
You have a sixth sense for
mate,
it.
Mate, I can tell from a mile off when the car's been involved in a crash.
We'll go to a Tesco park going... Dodgy.
Literally, yeah, but that's my job. I can tell that's all experience that you build up over the years. But there's also a company called, is it Copart?
You buy wrecked cars.
And I think Matt buys stuff from Copart. So some of that stuff isn't registered. So it's been heavily crashed and it's not registered. And they buy it, they repair it and put it back on the road as a normal car. And there used to be dealers that would earn an absolute fortune out of that, by the way.
I think in America it's very different, and that still happens. They have something called, I think they have salvage titles in America, so that's their categories. But yeah, I there are YouTube channels out there of people doing exactly this.
I'll tell you another thing that goes on as well, by the way. So again, this is less now, but it does still happen. I know it happens. So you can buy a car from Copart.
Yeah.
Then what you do is the rats... They're not the proper dealers, the rats, and they are rats, they're scum. They go and nick a car off someone's driveway,
right?
Break the car up, fix the Copart car, and then sell the Copart car. And that happens, like that's a thing, mate. Yeah. That genuinely happens. Wow. So there's so much stuff that goes on. It's you have to be so careful, just in general, when you buy a car. Like, I can't tell you how many, and it's bad. I mean, we are heavily regulated as dealers now, much more than we were. But there are still, excuse my language, some shithead dealers about, like there are in every industry, right? And you do have to be careful where you buy a car from. You know, always make sure you buy from a proper dealer that's FCA regulated and that works closely with finance companies. Because this stops all this. So a finance company won't finance a Cat in or a, they won't finance. So you're, as a consumer, you're so much better. We've said this before. You're so much better protected buying a car on finance because the finance company owns the car. So if, for instance, this V car, you bought a car and it hadn't gone on the register and the finance company financed it, they'd done their checks. I know they do better checks now, but they'd done their checks and the car was on finance. Then that's the finance company. Where's the problem? Mm-hmm. Not the customer.
Sure. Especially
if you pay cash for it, it's kind of on your own.
Yeah, it's yours.
So
what is the, I can understand the incentive for a seller, for a fixer-upper, whatever, but as a buyer, because Auto Trader is pretty good at advertising them. They list it.
Yeah, yeah.
And there are more on there than you would realize.
Like,
if you're doing a wide search, Cat S, Cat N, they come up quite a lot.
And they're not that much, I mean, they are cheaper.
But they're not that much cheaper. That's what I mean, you know.
No.
That A6 is a perfect example. Beautiful all-road, you know, near Vorsprung edition, you know, and it was $5,000 or $6,000 less as a Cat S, which we've just learned is a more significant structural damaged car. So
as far as I'm concerned, but just before we carry on, when it comes to values, if you're looking at an N or an S car and you're encouraged to buy it, as in you want to buy it, it needs to be 50% of the value of a...
50%?
I think so. Okay. Yeah, for sure. It needs to be 50% of the value of a proper car.
Okay, interesting.
That's what I think
anyway. Yeah, no, I, and then I guess there's an incentive. Because at that point, let's say you just take a desirable sports car. Let's take a 911 Carrera S.
Yeah.
You know, if you're buying a 992 911 Carrera S at $40,000 rather than at 80...
Yeah.
And it's a Cat N.
Or even if it was 50. Say it's an $80,000 car and it's $50,000.
And it's a Cat N, not a Cat S.
Yeah.
Happy days.
Yeah, and it's an N or an S. I mean, there should be a value differential between an N and an S, by the way. But if an 80-gram Porsche is a Cat N, that's had quite big damage, mate.
Mm.
You know what I mean? That's
still had 40, the write-off, yeah.
That still had 40 or 50 grand worth of damage. I know that doesn't go far on a 911, but it still has
carbon fiber parts.
Whatever. Yeah. So the Ferraris are the worst. I mean, they'd normally repair them, but like...
If certain bits, you know, carbon fiber wheels, if you've damaged,
20 grand.
Yeah, exactly.
Front bumper for a piston is 25 grand.
Yeah, there you go. It's quite easy to suddenly get a category.
Like if you have a half serious accident in a Ferrari, sometimes they repair them. But again, when you're in that world, they have to go to Chartwell.
Yeah.
So there's only one authorized repairer that they can go to.
Well, and sometimes Ferrari themselves don't want those cars going back out. A bit like with that Rolls-Royce.
They log all the parts, mate, and they know it's an accident, so it doesn't go back in the network.
That's exactly it. They don't want anything to do with it. Yeah, so at some point they might just say, like, no, thank you. I think it's interesting. You know, I can see why people would be tempted from a value point of view, but I think you just got to do that research, find out what the damage was, who repaired it, how it was repaired, et cetera, et cetera. Because sometimes it's tempting, but actually you've now sort of slightly highlighted that really maybe. Because the thing you've got to remember is you might be saving on the purchasing, but the insurance could be a real headache. And, well, it depends if you're financing or not, but you might struggle to get finance. Yeah. So you might be looking at that thing and there's a deal. But
If we really wanted to talk about this at length as well, get Matt on.
Well, yeah.
It's his world.
It's not my world.
So,
okay. Watch this space.
Yeah.
Well, keeping the theme around potential bargains, I'm picking your brain this week, Tony.
You are, yeah. It's quite like it sometimes. Makes me think. Instead of just sitting here listening to you talk like an old crap.
About the Ferrari factory. How much I'm drooling over asleep. Cheap Romans. Yeah.
It's going to give me better.
So beautiful. Rosso Mugello. I have been browsing a lot. I think people know I'm probably going to be getting an X3 for Vicky as the kind of runaround family car when the F-Pace and the i5 go. And I've been looking, and then, you know, there are a handful of nice cars, sort of mid to late 20s for X3s, like a 2018 car, not amazing specs. They're kind of there or thereabouts.
Yeah.
And I started thinking, oh, it's quite a lot of money to spend there for just what's going to be her, you know, doggy run around. And look, you know, she can go buy a car herself if she wants to, but...
She's got more money than you.
She does, literally. You have no idea how much money my wife wastes.
I know.
How do you think I'm in a Ferrari?
Yeah.
So I started thinking, let's go down a bracket to the sub 20K cars and start looking at, you know, what a good, dependable, reliable, well-equipped sort of 20 or sub 20K family cars. I literally got so overexcited.
Yeah, yeah.
The minute you step away from, like, I was like, why do, you know, who needs a premium European whatever?
Status, image.
Literally. And I'm a sucker for that.
Yeah.
I'm like, how much car can I get for 25K? So this is now kind of an area where you're slightly focusing some of your attention on. And I had a quick look on the website. You have a very nice... Well, you have the Tiguan one's a bit more expensive than that, isn't it? But you had a few things. You had a Kia in. You had a nice Golf in, I think. Oh, no, an A3 maybe. Anyway, so you got cars.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
What do you see as the good picks sub 20K? And I've got a few that I'm going to lob your way and you can fire back at me whether you think they're good or bad choices. So if I was to come to you, I'm a customer. All right, Tony. That's my voice when I'm buying a car, by the way. I do. I put on a voice.
Do you?
Yeah, because I think if I put a... hello, I'm calling about the Jaguar XF Sport Break. Yeah, all right, mate. Yeah, seen a green and tan Sport Break on the website. Yeah. So I've called you up. Oh, is that Tony? I said, I'm looking for a 20K. Is that what they say? 20K? What's that in slang? A monkey?
No, it's 500.
What's 20K?
20 grand.
20 grand. Got 20 grand to spend. I need four seats.
Or 20 quid.
20 quid.
Yeah.
Four seats. Got to be practical. Got to be an automatic. Got to be fairly fully loaded, mate. I want all the tail and parking sensors. My wife will crash otherwise. I want it to be reliable.
World's your oyster. I mean, flipping. I mean, where do I start?
Okay, I don't want a hatchback.
Cool.
There we go. That helps you out.
It does help me out. So... three cars that come to mind, and I am a genius, but I have been briefed on this, so please don't think that I'm not that much of a genius.
I did text Tony last night saying,
me up.
I think this will be our...
he's warmed me up.
This will be one of our topics.
So I did have a little bit of finger time. He ain't put me on the spot. Although even if he did, I'd still pluck three out of the sky. So So, number one, free series touring.
For 20K?
Yes.
What year?
Well, it'd be an older car.
What year?
Like 2017 car.
So the old shape.
Yeah. But mate, that is all the car you could ever want. They literally do everything. But I'm trying to think of, because I had a little bit of time, I'm thinking of three different segments.
Sure.
So I like to give a bit of variety instead of just piling in and then taking the mics off and walking
out. That's good advice. I'm a customer here. I'm no longer your podcast co-host.
That's
I am a customer. You are selling me a car. So, okay. So what kind of engine are we talking about?
Like a 320 M Sport petrol or diesel. I'd probably lean towards the petrol because of the DPFs.
Okay.
So especially a lot of town driving, your wife doesn't do loads of miles. So a petrol, no problem.
Potter around, good a little toy. And I'm not going to get CarPlay and stuff like that, but I could obviously retrofit.
Put CarPlay in.
Put CarPlay in.
Yeah.
Is there anything that I need to look at spec-wise that's important?
Or just get an M-Sport.
Get an M-Sport, yeah, tick some of the boxes.
Yeah, pretty
and what's
much.
Reliability? That era, because that's the thing, when you start looking towards the more premium Euro brands, I don't want to get caught up in, you know, yeah, reliability or servicing costs. Are they fairly affordable to run?
Yeah, variable servicing. Okay. Obviously, they're every 2 years, so the car tells you, and it goes in stages, obviously. So you've got brake fluid, oil, and filters, essentially. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, they're fairly, you can get them, you don't have to get them serviced at BMW. You can go to a good independent to get them serviced at that point. So it's not that expensive to run.
Okay.
Tires would be a little bit spiteful because it's still a premium car. Again, if she's not doing loads of miles, mate, you never put a set of tires on it.
No, and obviously we're going to share this car, which is why I'm getting involved.
That's
because
fine.
If it was just a car for herself, she'd go and buy something for herself.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is, we're going to incorporate this with a bit of stock watch.
Okay.
Watching the stock. So I've literally just thrown in your criteria.
Uh-huh.
20K, uh-huh. The first car that comes up. So shout out for a seller in Gloucester. It's a 2020 330D.
Yeah.
Sport Touring Auto X Drive with 32,000 miles.
Lovely.
So it's actually not the old shape. It's actually a newer shape.
Yeah.
So a lovely diesel. Obviously, yeah, so 2020 new shape.
20 grand.
Hang on, 20 grand. Got BMW service history. 45 mpg in the real world. So this is the diesel, which you said you were... A few minor stone chips, the person's saying. Here we go. It's... this is an ex-police car. Ah.
Well, that's an odd life.
But it's...
It's been regularly serviced, though, by the way.
Yeah, but it's got bad options. So also, let's go. The one down is a 2018. So yes, the older shape, 335D with 95,000 miles. Bit of a disaster.
How many miles? Put the miles at...
No, here... what do you think the miles should be?
Put the miles up to 50. 50,000 miles.
Okay, so here's the car, mate. Here's the car. It's a 2020, 47,000 mile, 320i.
Perfect.
The right shape.
Yeah.
It's got reversing camera, as you would want. BMW connected systems, all that lot.
Yeah.
It's actually a lovely car. Lovely. There it is.
There you go.
Okay, so let's screenshot that one. Boom.
It's good enough.
Good enough, mate.
Yeah, all the car you could ever want. Drives, lovely. Bit of status. Hold its money because it's a BMW.
And looks premium as.
Yeah,
I don't think, you know, you could easily convince someone that was a 40 grand car because it's the newer shape with the nice lights, all that, things like that.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, quite good at this.
Next one.
Yeah, next one. Move on.
Next one will be, I'm going to go like, because it's all family, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to go SUV market.
Sure.
Because that is the biggest market in the country.
Of course.
So I'm going to go like... Qashqai Sportage.
Yeah.
Them two.
Oh, I love a Qashqai.
And I've got a new shape Sportage in stock. I took it in part exchange for a Focus RS, oddly enough.
Strange.
Yeah, odd. But, mate, what a car.
Can we just agree that Kia, smashing it with the design at the minute.
Yeah, got 7-year warranties on them. They don't go wrong. They're absolutely bulletproof.
Quite nice interiors as well.
Honestly, when I sat, it's got the big screens like my M3.
Yeah.
The two big, honestly, what a car.
And the seats remind me of like Golf, GTI Golf R type vibe.
Yeah, yeah.
Bit of
if
Alcantara
you have the GT line,
on.
So you can have a GT line, and then there's one up from that as well. Yeah. So, and then you can have an auto. I mean, the newer shaped car that I've got is a bit more than 20.
Okay.
But if you're talking sportage in general, I mean, what a car.
So obviously that's that, that's its own platform. It's not like, you know, you get the Cupra, which is essentially an A3 or whatever like that. So stands alone, but it's shared with, you were saying it's shared with Hyundai. But what is its equivalent? So if we were to make a European equivalent, is that a Tiguan rival or what is that?
Yeah, so it is literally a Tiguan or a Q3 probably.
Okay.
So I've got a, just to give you an idea and pricing, so I've got a Tiguan in stock. It's a 2018. It's done similar miles to the Kia.
Yeah.
So it's 4 years older and it's more money than the Kia.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. And I've got a Q3 four-sprung about to come in on a... So it's a new shape car, so 69 plate, which is what it compete with. Done more miles.
Yeah.
But it's got everything on it, Audi. It's going to be like 26 and a half grand or something.
This is what's insane.
What's wrong with
the
newer car?
Spec, right? We'll have less
stuff. No, it's a four-sprung. So
it's got a four-sprung. I missed that. Sorry.
It's got everything on it, but it's done like double the miles and it's 3 years older.
Okay, so hold on a sec. So I'm just looking at, to be harsh on you.
Yeah.
At the hard 20K line,
yeah,
you are getting the older shape Sportage. It's a 2020, so it's not an old car.
Or 21 car you'll get, yeah.
Oh, yeah, 21 car. Yeah, there you go. So with 24,000 miles.
I know that because I've got a 21 plate coming in part exchange, so I know they're 20 grand.
Was there a big leap? Did Kia, like, you know, because visually there is, but is this a kind of car where, you know, Kia are making leaps and bounds each year and actually you want to try and push yourself because the interior doesn't look quite as European. It's a bit cheaper look and feel. I'm just browsing now.
Yeah, the new shape car looks like a European car inside.
Yeah, looks levels above.
Yeah.
So I might argue with you a little bit there that that doesn't quite, because you're doing a classic salesman
you
technique.
You asked me what car to get, and
you are. But
and
what
the cash car is another one.
No, but it's like going around with an estate agent where you go, right, my budget's 300 grand.
Yeah.
And they sell you out, and you go, this house is perfect. They go, great, it's 375.
Yeah, perfect.
No, where am I getting the 75 grand from?
But it's not 75 grand, it's another couple of 3 grand.
Okay, so let me put the budget up.
If you've got 20, you've got 23.
Wanna do you though, mate? You say this.
Yes, because most people finance their cars. It's like another 20 quid a month. That's a bit more than that.
So I can't. Okay, there we go. 22
another
and a
50
half.
Quid a month.
22 and a half. I got a 1.6 GT line, you said?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's a freaking lovely car. 30,000 miles. What a looker, mate.
Yeah, yeah. Beautiful.
22 and a half thou. Yeah. So if you're buying that from Tony, that's at least 19 because he's taken a massive margin.
Yeah, yeah. 19, you're joking.
That went over your head
15.
A bit. That went over your But that's got. But that's a manual. But oh, mate, that is a lovely car inside. Yeah, yeah. I think.
That's the car.
Oh, there's a brown one.
Oh, no.
Oh, there's a brown one. Oh, that's the one I'm including in the stock watch.
He's put it in.
Shout out to SG Petch Richmond. Oh, down the road, mate.
Down the road. Get down there and get a deposit on
what
it.
What a thing. Does it come with CarPlay and stuff?
Brown
here
one.
We go. Wireless CarPlay.
Perfect.
Wireless Apple CarPlay on the 22 and a half grand brown Kia Sportage.
Yeah.
What a weapon.
Yeah.
Annoying that it's manual because Vicky can't drive manual fish.
Shame.
Okay, I'll let you have it. I still think you've cheated a little bit in a classic car
dealer. But,
right,
well, but then go cash car.
Oh yeah, cash car is a vibe.
It's the same thing.
Cash car blows me away.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because we talk about it every now and again. We rented that one from like Hertz or Europe Car.
Yeah.
Fully loaded.
Yeah.
For 19 grand. CarPlay, pan roof, cruise control, heated seats. Unbelievable.
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't think it looks as good as that Kia.
It doesn't, no. That definitely
Kia's
not.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
So, okay. You've had your SUV.
Them too. No, there's another SUV coming.
Tell me.
But this is a more premium one, bit older, bit more expensive, but unbelievable value for money.
Mm-hmm.
Range Rover Sport.
Shut up.
20 grand. You get like a 2015 car.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. Obviously, there's insurance problems
in the UK.
In the UK, and there's some reliability problems as well. But, mate, you're driving a Range Rover, a newish-looking car.
Okay, so a Range Rover Sport.
Up to 20 grand.
Up to 20 grand. Oh, wow.
Yeah. What mate, what a car.
So for listeners, this is the prior shape Think of the SVR, the old SVR, not the
like
new
a 2014,
SV.
2015 car.
Yeah, but just you know, not everyone's going to know what that, which one that looks like. It's not the boxy one. It's literally the last generation. Yeah, so think of the old SVR. It's that shape.
Yep.
So here we go. Good example for our last topic. One of the first cars that comes up, Cat N. Now, they are leggy cars at 20 grand. We're looking at nearly 100,000 miles.
No, there will be some with less
There's
miles.
There's some at 75,000. There's one at 46,000.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's a 3-litre diesel V6 at 46,000. But you're right. Cars that look more valuable than they are, if you rock up at your mate's house in one of these...
That fits 50 grand car.
They are leggy cars though, mate. Here we go. Here's another 64,000 mile car. That's a good one. That's the one I'm going to include right there. It's another 3-litre diesel. And yeah, they think it's more than 50. They think that's a 75 grand car. That's a great spec. So for listeners, I'm looking at a silvery gold pan roof, black interior, lovely and cushy. Looks, as I say, up to date.
Lovely and cushy.
Told you, mate. I'm putting a bit of an accent here when I do. It's metallic Aruba, deployable tow bar. Yeah, 64,000 miles. The garage in Bramham.
The problem with that car, as a lot of you know, is one, trying to insure the bloody thing.
Because in the UK, they do get stolen
a lot. They do have, you'll have some big maintenance bills. They do carry a few problems then. But flipping hell, what a car for 20 grand.
Is that good, though, to be suggesting or recommending a family car that might break down?
But some people are happy with that, mate. Like, that market's big. Some people are happy to have, you know, to compromise a bit of reliability and a bit of...
For a bit of prestige. And
Yeah,
I'm one of those people. Have you considered a Maserati Gran Turismo? Okay, so that's a great shout. Let me throw some curveballs at you. You can bash them back at me. We'll do a bit of quick fire. Volvo XC40.
Yeah, great car.
Great car?
Great car.
Because they're sort of circa, you know, that kind of money.
Aren't they 20 grand now?
Yeah, you can find some 20 grand. It's a bit of the Kia Sportage vibe. Like, they're hovering at 20.
Tech's a bit. That screen's a bit laboured and slow now, though. That main infotainment scene, it needs updating. The Volvo one.
Yeah, okay, tech-wise.
Okay, I mean, it's got all the tech in it, but...
Sure, but if you want Apple CarPlay, you're going to have to hack it. It's not going to be inbuilt.
No, it should have CarPlay, but what I mean, it's all a bit dim-witted and slow.
Fair.
It's not like the... But reliable,
fairly cheap to run.
Oh, yeah. Built like a tank.
A bit of a prestige brand, I think, Volvo.
Absolutely. Great brand.
I like that.
In general.
What about a non-quadrifoglio Alfa Giulia? Just like the diesel Giulia.
I'd go the petrol one because of 280 horsepower.
Fair.
Get the Speciale one or the one with a bit of spec on it. We get them in from time to time.
Mate, my first ever experience in a Giulia was just the Boggo standard one, the non-quad. And I thought, and I had one on loan, one of my first ever press loans as seen through glass, was I think a diesel, maybe it's a petrol. Anyway, but still a mega car because you get all the theatre with the big paddles, you get the beautiful looks, maybe not aggression, but you get the beautiful looks, lovely seating, but driving position, things like that. Crap tech again.
You'd have the BMW still though. Over that.
But we're talking about alternatives. You know me, I'm always going to come at you with a slightly quirky choices.
Yeah, fair. But yeah, if unless you need to be well-heeled, you'd probably still buy the BMW.
Okay, maybe. Mercedes.
Yeah.
What about an early C-Class or a GLA, something of that ilk?
Again, both of them, they're all right. As in... I sold a C250 AMG Premium Plus with 50,000 miles on it, 2017 car.
Lovely.
Last week for like 18 grand.
Yeah. It's nice.
Yeah, it's fine.
A tad more expensive to run?
Than the BMW.
Yeah.
It's just slightly older and no, it's all right.
Okay.
They're yearly servicing, not variable like the BMW. A slightly older car as well, so infotainment system not quite as good.
And a bit of an Uber vibe about you?
But good on fuel.
Well, yeah, but you know what I mean? Like, I remember, this is maybe a UK problem, or at least a German problem, Germany problem. I remember my mum went from S5, like A4 cab, S5, S5, to E-Class.
Yeah.
And everyone called her a taxi driver.
Uber.
Yeah.
Mm.
It was pre-Uber.
Uber. Yeah.
But they was, why have you bought a taxi? And she was devastated. She had 6 months sold it.
Oh, wow.
Because they still have that vibe, you know, and if it's like a fairly affordable C-Class or E-Class, I think people might think they're their Ubers and jump in the back by mistake.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a bit like the bit like Skoda.
Oh, that was one. Skoda Octavia or Superb.
You want the Superb.
That's the big one, right? That's flipping the A6 rival.
What a car that is, by the way.
Massive boot,
no one buys them unless you're a taxi driver. Yeah. But flipping hell. You get the Sportline one of them. You get like a
what year?
3-year-old one. Like a 2020, 2021 Sportline. Flipping, what a car, mate.
Obviously, the world is your oyster.
Yeah, literally.
But I'm most turned on by that Kia Sportage.
Yeah, yeah, it's perfect.
That is a vibe.
It's good enough.
And I just think Kia are just making moves. Do you know what I mean? They're making moves. And they're easier to pronounce than Hyundai.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the Qashqai is the more sensible choice and the biggest seller in the country. But that Sportage, I'm going to go check some out. Yeah. Well, actually, wait, is your one? I know your one's manual. There's I want to drive one.
There's a lot, mate. There's a lot of Sportages on the road.
Yeah, and on the market.
Millions
as well.
Of them, yeah.
Yeah. But that's the world is your oyster at that sort of 20K-ish mark for lots of nice bits of kit.
Family cars.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, you know, that's my whole remit is like, actually, you know, maybe there's a nice, this is the bum around car, you know, I'm probably going to get something nicer, you know. Anyway, let's not bore you all because I know every week, what's Sam going to buy this week? Based on my Ferrari factory tour, it's going to be a 550 Maranello.
Oh my God.
No, that's what I looked at. I looked at 456. 612 Scaglietti, 550, 575, and Roma. Punch it. And you know the other one I looked at, mate? Here's a shout. Gen 1 Californias. There is a car for sale at a Ferrari dealership.
By 60 grand?
The Ferrari one is 75.
Right.
But they're like 50 or 60 grand for a Gen 1 California. And I know...
With some miles on it.
It's basically a Maserati and people don't love it. It's still a Ferrari.
It's a terrible car, mate.
No. It is not a terrible car.
It's a terrible Ferrari.
Yes.
Yeah.
Terrible Ferrari.
Yeah.
Good car. And why we say it's a terrible Ferrari, because it doesn't feel like a Ferrari.
Just get a Portofino. That's a much better car.
Well, Portofino M, I will remain to this day.
They're way too much
fighting. Yes. But I don't know if that's because the Roma Spider hasn't come out yet or because everyone is listening to this podcast and agreeing with me. Portofino M, that if I had a lot of money, that's what I'm going to go and buy and I'm going to sit on it because I think that's the 100
you think that'll
car.
Only be 100
Well, that's an investment.
That might be 75. That'll be 100.
They're suddenly going to bomb. The minute Roma Spiders turn up, they're going to bomb. But it's because you can't get a convertible that format at the moment. But it is a Roma Spider. So what people don't realise is the Portofino M is the Roma Spider. Yeah, with a hard top, not a soft top.
Correct.
So, you know, it's... Oh, what a thing. Alexander's Prestige had one coming the other day. And I
said,
sent Andrew a message the other day saying, just let's do something. This is a brand deal. Come on. Just sell me the car for like he 50 grand. And he was like, ha, 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 ha.
Yeah,
so what does
did.
That mean?
Yeah.
Come on.
No,
do
that
something.
Means.
Yeah. Damn you, Andrew. Yeah. Well, anyway, there we go. Some consumer advice today. Cat N, Cat S cars, should you, shouldn't you? We shouldn't say cheap. Affordable family cars, sub 20K. And the fact that Ferrari is still great.
Of course.
Despite the fact that we don't actually want any of their new cars.
We actually don't, do we?
We don't. It's weird. But I did, as I say, going around the factory, what did it make me want? It made me want an 812 Competizione. It made me want to drive an SF90XX. It made me want a Pura Sangue. Yep, I said it. It made me want a Roma. I didn't want a 296, even though they're so good. I didn't want a 296.
Well, everyone would agree with you because there's 60 of them on the market.
Yeah, and it made me want to be a Corsa Cliente program. But most of all, the biggest thing is it made me want to buy all the classic Ferraris. Because as I said, I was there to visit the Classico program. If you get involved with that, mate, the archive, you'll see it all in the main channel video. I'm imploring you all go watch that. The Ferrari archive, mate. Any car you've bought... They know they have all the information.
Yeah, right? It's unbelievable.
It's actually terrifying.
Yeah.
I'll just leave you with this one anecdote, which will feature in the main channel. Sterling Moss, famously, his 250 GTO is that pastel green one. You've seen that pastel green 250 GTO. Let me bring it up now if you
just
see
help
it.
Just me out here, mate, because I don't really look at anything, really.
Sterling Moss, 250 GTO, green. It's this one.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Yeah.
1962, 250 GTO, Sterling
Moss's
made
car?
For Sterling Moss.
Right.
Yep. So, if you haven't seen it before, it is a 250 GTO, one of the most valuable cars in the world, made in this kind of lime green pastel colour.
Yep. Beautiful.
Beautiful. Back in the day, when they were doing the communication with Sterling, he said, I want it in a custom colour. And so Enzo was like, sure, what do you want? So, well, there's a specific material that I have, and I don't know what the material is for, but he said, I want it to match this. And they have the actual sample, the
Do they?
The 2 centimeter square cut of material that he sent to Italy for them to color match.
Amazing.
So, you know, all the correspondence, all the information, the back and the forth, the custom color, and they have the actual patch that he sent from the 1960s, still in its folder, still in its little passport, and they have that amount of detail for every single car.
Amazing.
From 1940s to today.
Yeah.
So, you know, people ask, what's the point, and what's the, you know, my car, my Challenger Stradale, if I wanted to, I could go and find out every single bit of information about when it was ordered new, where it was on the production line, what date, who ordered it, where it went to, any options that maybe have changed in years or haven't changed. It's everything. It's all there.
Yeah.
It's all there. It blew my mind. Anyway, next week's episode, let's give you a heads up here. So next week's episode might be a little bit different because I think we're going to be doing a normal episode, but in a special car. So we've been doing a few more Rate My Rides. This is going to be something similar to that. Stay tuned.
I don't even know about this.
I'll tell you afterwards.
Good job.
Week after, we will be on the BTG Tour of Portugal.
Oh.
Our first ever tour.
Yeah, that is 2 weeks.
It's 2 weeks.
And we've got to record a podcast out there.
So we will be doing an episode during the tour, but it may be with you late. So we're giving you a heads up now. Not next week, but the week after, the episode may be with you later than usual.
Yeah, okay.
So stay with us. But we want to record an episode during the actual tour to talk.
We're going to record it with the gang.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea.
That's the whole point. Maybe get them involved, rate their cars, tell people why they should have bought something different, whatever it might be.
Well, I can't wait. The cars that are coming, I can't really go in on it because they're all mega.
We like them all. So just give me a heads up on that. Is that, 2 weeks' time, it may not be a... If you're a YouTube viewer, Thursday lunchtime. If you're an audio listener, Tuesday or Wednesday, upload. But bear with us. We are very excited for that week. Anyway, we hope you enjoyed this week's episode. If you're listening to us, please give us a review on whatever audio platform you're listening to us on. If you're watching us, you can subscribe, turn on notifications. If you want to follow Tony in the meantime, he is at Tony Gravel with Car Sales on most social media platforms. I'm at Seen Through Glass, and this podcast is at Behind the Glass _ podcast. We'll be back with you for a slightly quirky episode next week. Bye-bye.
See ya.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.